Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. Are you down with the DC talk? I know I am. I think Jake is the one who found that music. Maybe it was Candy. I can't remember anyway. DC Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola, and he joins us every Wednesday at this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, good morning.
Great to have you. Can we start with what I think is going to come as a surprise to you? Can I surprise you? Can I shock you?
Please.
The city council voted to approve the rate increase for downtown parking from 50 cents an hour to an hour. And the ultimate plan, as I understand it, is that you want to move that from ordinance into the budgeting process eventually, which will mean that you can make adjustments to different places. You can also put in that variable parking rate that you've been talking about through the app, and that ultimately this can be decided every year or whatever, as opposed to being done through an ordinance. The raise from 50 cents to a dollar an hour, I support. I agree. I know this is probably like pick me up off the floor kind of stuff, but
it is.
Yeah. So I, you know me, okay. I want a lot of free parking and I will never pay to park. Y'all can have it. But I do agree that if you're going to have the paid parking, right? If I've lost that slice of the argument, once I've lost that slice of the argument, 50 cents is ridiculous. that's right, too cheap.
Right.
A dollar or even $2 an hour is a very common, normal, sensible kind of rate if you're going to have paid parking. That makes sense to me. So did I surprise you this morning?
You did. And I agree. The point is, 50 cents is kind of the worst of both worlds, right?
Right.
I mean, you have to go through the process. You have to pay for it. You got to go find the meter. You got to find the QR code. And then you're really not helping the city generate any revenue to come fix those parking spaces
right,
or lighting or anything. You know, so you're really not accomplishing what the goal would be of the city for your sacrifice for that user fee. So,
and you're not turning over the space because nobody's moving because the car costs
correct.
50 cents an hour.
And to be honest with you, you know, is that's one thing that we're going to be paying attention to is, as our study showed, you know, our size based on our household income here, we looked at all of that data. The projection was we should be about $1.70 an hour. I didn't want to do that to people. You know, I want us to make sure that we get there. But is it possible that if we're still almost, you know, priced half of what we should be, that we don't see the turnover that we want? That's possible. But certainly we're going to play that out first before we jump the gun and go to something, you know, more expensive. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's a letter to the editor that mentioned, well, why can't parking be like Fairhope? Or someone will say, hey, you know, this is why I don't go downtown, because we charge for parking.
Right.
Well, I hate to say it, but we have 30% more people than 2 years ago downtown. So what I'm saying, that is the issue at hand, is that there's such demand downtown now. So that may be that one person's opinion, and that's perfectly fine. But what the data is showing us is we are seeing explosive growth of people who want to be downtown, and we got to do something to help control that and help plan for the future with those dollars and be able, whether it's a parking garage, whether it's safety measurements, cameras, all those things, you know, we've got to be able to start projecting for what the future of downtown is. And I think this is a start.
The second phase, or what I'm calling the second phase of your plan, which would be maybe third or fifth phase really by this point, but which would be to expand the hours of coverage into the evening, especially because we know that's the time when there's no charge, and yet that's the time where there's the most demand for the scarcity, but also expanding the territory, which the plan is to suck up more of the free spaces and make them into paid spaces. What's the time frame for either or both of those ideas?
We're looking at some point this summer, and I always forget to say this. I'm not a good PR person for myself sometimes. There will still be hundreds and hundreds, thousands, I believe, multiple thousands of free spaces that the city operates. So, you know, when we start talking about paid parking, everyone gets in their mind that that means all free parking is going away. That is absolutely not the case. There'll be significant on-street parking. It just may not be right in front of the building you want to go to. So that will still happen even with these policy changes. But going hours to midnight and then extending some geography will probably take place somewhere in that June, July timeframe. We'll have a better idea when we get a little closer. The good news is we're fully on to the Park Mobile app. That's been great. We've gotten enormous positive feedback with that, which was the number one concern for me for that customer experience, to make sure before we start charging more and before we start changing policy, we want to make sure we make it as easy as possible on the customer. So we're happy with that first phase and how that's gone so far. And then we'll see what happens from there. But, I think at the end of the day, what we're going to end up with is the ability to to do a better job of taking care of our infrastructure, do a better job of making it easy on everybody. And that's what they want. They want to be able to find a space, and they want to be able to make it easy for the transaction. That's what the survey told us, and that's what we're focused on.
And you know, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I love your plan to make it enticing for red lot owners to come onto the blue lot system, and that would actually wind up being a price decrease for most consumers and a much more convenient system and not have to deal with booting and all of that. So those are all to the good.
Correct.
The Escambia Children's Trust. This last week, Lindsay Cannon had made the announcement that the goal is to create as many as 10 new community partnership schools over the course of the next 5 years to a year at a $300,000 or $400,000 a piece price tag. That is something within the financial power of the Escambia Children's Trust to do. But footnote two, Kevin Adams on the school board says, hey, Board of County Commissioners and City of Pensacola, if you could just see fit to not require the Escambia Children's Trust to pay the CRA tax slice and instead let that money flow to them, we could do an even better job of funding these community partnership schools. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, a couple things. First, I had a meeting with Lindsay for about an hour and a half in my office yesterday to talk through, you know, what the potential of that would look like. Let me back up and say this. There isn't a town hall, there isn't a public speaking engagement that I go to with a Q&A where I don't get asked about educational outcomes here. And as it's kind of like parking, I say the same thing. I'm tired of saying that's not my job, you know, and it's all of our job, right? I mean, the school board directly, but if we want businesses to move here, if we want jobs to be created here, they look at the quality of the school system. I mean, that is a reality of this position I'm in, regardless of what authority I have over it. And so we've got to start getting serious about that. And so as I said to her, look, I'm completely open-minded. If there's something that can help city children and it's a proven outcome, like a community school, you remember Dr. Thomas, Kim Thomas was on my transition team. She's running LIFE. So she's, you know, very familiar with that. I'm loosely familiar with all of the progress. Of course, I've seen the results of how great things have gone there as a community school. So I'm certainly open-minded about that. If we're saying, do we need more resources to help the children of the city? We absolutely do. But if for those dollars, which I still do believe by legally speaking, those are CRA dollars, I'm more than willing to look at being collaborative, be it the school district, the Children's Trust, and how we would make sure that those dollars are spent and spent wisely to help the kids of the city. So
are you a supporter of the community partnership school concept?
I am. Yeah.
Very good. Excellent.
So we'll look at that. You know, there's a lot of nuance that would go into that. You know, we're going to continue to expand on our conversations, but absolutely, we got to have results at the end of the day. We can't just say, I can't say as the mayor just because it's not the school district doesn't fall under me that it's not our job. We've got to do something. And if there's something we can do that's positive, then we're going to certainly take a look at it.
By the way, we've got a couple of texts in while we were talking about parking. I just wanted to share one or two with you. One is somebody says, we went to the Sanger the other night, and I literally had to find a young couple to help us figure out how to pay for parking. Very embarrassing. Somebody else says, boo, Andrew. A dollar is not better. Zero is better. They've been functioning without paid parking for years. They've always had the money they've needed to follow to allow the city to develop. So much on nonsensical and useless things. This could be better spent in other parts of the city, other forms. And somebody else says, can you ask the mayor why he wants to reduce parking spaces on Palafox Place by 50%, the area between Garden and Government Street? Before I get your answer, I do need to give an appropriate, I mean, if you're going to boo me.
Boo!
Boo me!
How fitting.
Go on, sir, go on.
Well, a lot to cover there, but
yeah, I know.
Bottom line, Chris, free parking is only going to be free for the city residents until it's time for us to fix something, to build a parking garage that we have to bond. That's why this should be a user fee. That means the only people paying to help to improve and to maintain the infrastructure of downtown are the people who are using downtown. So, you know, that argument has a fallacy in it, in that when a problem comes and finds us downtown that we need to pay millions of dollars for or parking capacity, any of that type of stuff, should be all 55,000 people of the city be paying it, not the visitors, not the tourists, and not the people using it every day? Or should it be those people that should be the ones that are putting the wear and tear on downtown, be the ones that should be paying for it? So that's the beauty of a user fee. And so you can't have one without the other.
What about the Palafox Place piece? That was news to me. I don't know that. And this comes from a fairly credible person.
On that count, you know, I get a lot of news delivered to me too on exactly the number of spaces. We've had conversations now for multiple years as FPL's obligation to repave. If you go down Palafox right now and you say, well, Mayor, why haven't we repaved? That's FPL's obligation when they cut the utilities in. But what we've done is we've worked hand in hand with them that if we're going to do something on Palafox, we might want to look at an opportunity, a once in a generation opportunity to do something transformational on Palafox. We are looking at taking some of the parking bays on the first block. There's a major safety issue that blocks into Garden Street when people try to parallel there.
Okay.
There's lots of issues in that. So I know I'm sure that's coming. You know, that question comes from someone who doesn't want to lose those spaces and is probably stuck in this mindset that one parking space in front of a business is the game changer. That's the difference between success and failure. We have a massive parking garage behind on Palafox. The county has one. We have plenty of parking spaces. So no number has been set. I haven't even seen a design for it yet. So, you know, let that person know. Maybe that person's seen the design and I haven't.
They can send it to me. Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's going to be part of the conversation, obviously. So I appreciate you answering that question.
Sure.
Oh, just one real quick thing, because we don't have time for I had a big substantial thing. One quick thing is you and I talked last week, I think, about the welcome sign coming off of Three Mile Bridge from Gulf Breeze. And we now have an RFP. It's going to be the FDOT was going to put in $370. We're using their money and the actual cost is going to be $562. And this is going to be for the Pelican Neon on the kind of the wharf pier kind of thing. City Council is going to vote on it next week, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, you remember a while back, obviously doing anything with state roads adds another layer of complexity. So it's taken us a little longer than we had hoped. But, we had that contest and I want to give that contest credit. It's very rare that there could be an open public contest where it feels like 80 or 90% of people all agree. I think that's what happened in that case. So we're excited to get that up and going. And obviously, like everything else, the budget was a little high. We got to get some money reallocated. But also, to their credit, from the previous number that they had set a few years ago, they gave us another $100,000. So to try to offset some of that cost. So we should be able to get that finally up and going, and we'll have our own welcome sign coming in. Off the Three Mile Bridge.
That's fantastic. Yeah, no, it's good. And that'll be the Pelican design will be where the old Five Flags Welcome Center used to be before FDOT did all the work, just for people who haven't been following the story. All right, well, I always like to end with the lightning round. First question is, tell me something people do on Facebook that annoys you.
Oh, man. A bunch of single random photos, 8 posts at one time with a single photo in them. I think it's just a technology issue.
Oh, instead of clustered, as in one post where you can scroll through the photos, like it's one thing?
Correct.
I gotcha. All right. When you were in school, favorite cafeteria food?
I would say I remember vividly in my third grade at Helen Keller that square pizza with the cube pepperoni is hard to beat. It was not organic. I'm fairly certain. But
oh no, it's the best terrible food there ever has been. Cafeteria pizza. And this is an important question. Answer carefully. Dog or cat?
Oh, dog for sure. Definitely a dog guy. What are you?
Oh, dog. I mean, this is easy. Cats are something you use dogs to get rid of. Mr. Mayor, always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to the city council meeting next week. And, of course, Bruce Beach getting opened up a week from Saturday. That's going to be fun as well. Mayor D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Andrew. Thanks so much.